FranWise presents What's Your Effing Business, a podcast about franchising. Here's your host, Marianne O'Connell.
Hi, welcome to this edition of What's Your Effing Business, a podcast about franchising. I'm your host, Marianne O'Connell, and today we are going to speak to one of those CEOs that has a brand we all wish we would be in, and I'm going to ask him about how he has survived COVID in a little bit. But welcome to the podcast, Charles Watson from Tropical Smoothie Cafe.
Hi, Marianne. How are you?
I'm doing great. Best podcast name ever.
I'm a potty mouth. I'm a potty mouth, so I love the title. It's wonderful.
Well, people who know me will know it's a play on words, but thank you. So we're sitting here. You're in a gloomy day. We're sitting here having a fire day. But let's talk about good things. First of all, can you give us a little, our listeners, a brief background of where the system is, how many units, how long it's been in business, et cetera?
Sure. So Tropical Smoothie Cafe was founded in 1997 down in Florida. And we currently have, we will open our 900th cafe here in about 30 days on a military base at Fort Benning in Georgia. So I'll be down there with our servicemen and women to cut the ribbon and do the grand opening. Big milestone for us. Luckily, with the way that our brand has been moving, we're sort of adding a 100 plus every year, so I get to do lots of those, which is one of the funnest parts of my job for sure. Tropical Smoothie is a healthier, quick casual restaurant chain. We're about 60% smoothie sales, all natural real fruit smoothies, and about 40% food sales. So we do flatbreads, wraps, salads, etc. So a little bit lighter fare. We are a healthier option for our consumers. And we've been expanding rapidly, and our AUV is about $800,000. Our development costs about $325,000 to $335,000. So we're a good over 2-to-1 investment ratio. So a great opportunity for new franchisees. And we've been on average selling anywhere from 200 to 225 franchises a year. So our pipeline is pretty big. Our pipeline is pushing 600 units. So I think you'll be seeing more Tropical Smoothie Cafes come to a market near you. And we're just so excited to our mission ultimately is to inspire better in our guests and our franchisees. And so we love to pursue that. And we want to be the most beloved restaurant brand in the country, really kind of a head and heart connection with our consumers. And we think we'll do that by sharing the fun and the craveability and the healthier aspect of the tropics. That's our way to inspire better. So we're excited about it.
That's a lofty goal.
Yes.
That is, but a good one.
A good one.
You've got these great goals. You've got a great pipeline, one that a lot of people would envy. How have you done so far through, we're here in what, the last week, the last days of October. How have you done through COVID?
So January and February started off great. March 12th or whatever the infamous date is, we fell off the, I like to call it the COVID cliff. So March we fell down. April was our worst month in terms of negative comp sales. Clawed back in May and June. And our third quarter, I'm very grateful and happy to report for our franchisees primarily. Q3 this year, we were positive 19.5% in comp sales. So we have come out of it very, very well. Our franchisees, I believe, would tell you they were very well supported during COVID. I've got more gray hairs now, and I'm happy to do it for the results that we've had for our franchisees. We did a lot of work. We worked with franchisees on rent abatements, on helping them get their PPP loans. Our real estate and development folks, we're loan officers and rent negotiators. Did that. We also cut our royalties 50% for 8 weeks, which was pretty aggressive. Our franchisees very much appreciated that, so that helped them weather the storm. We gave away between two different programs to healthcare workers and first responders almost 400,000 free smoothies. So we feel really good about that. So we did the community and the business piece together, and we're lucky to see great results coming out of that as we increase our brand awareness, continue to keep our franchisees really engaged in this business. like many of the people you talk to, Marianne, our business is a street corner business. Our franchisees have to own that 3 to 5 mile radius, you know, around their cafe. We've got some of the best in the business to do that. So currently for the year, we're over plus 5% in comp sales, which I can tell you in April, I would have done 3 backflips if I had known we would be where we are now. But it's a lot of really hard work by our franchisees and our corporate support center staff that's gotten us there. So we're very excited. And we think this brand continues to grow and continues to increase our footprint and continues to be able to inspire better for a lot more guests going forward. We also have a stacked pipeline when it comes to smoothie and food products. So we're very excited about that. We have a very exciting promo one where we'll be doing, we'll be utilizing shrimp and doing some shrimp wraps and some shrimp salads. So we're very excited about that in the healthy time of year. So my CMO is probably going to get very mad at me for mentioning that. So don't tell anyone, Marianne.
I'll publish yours later.
Yes.
But I'm so glad you said shrimp in wraps and salads and not smoothies. Otherwise we were going to have a talk.
No.
So extraordinary times, but even in ordinary times, what do you see as the role of the CEO or the role of the franchisor in general?
The role of the franchisor, and you know, I had a great mentor who was our previous CEO that was great on this, and he doesn't mind me borrowing and stealing from him. In this role, I've been able to put my spin on things, and there's certain things that I believe in. It's the head and the heart. Right. The franchisor is supposed to be the head. Right. But the franchisees are the heart. They're the beating heart of the business.
Absolutely.
And neither one of them works without the business. And I think that's such an apt and appropriate way to describe it. As a franchisor for me, it's about, I have to really focus on if you maybe pick one thing, I would say unit level economics. The business has to work. As much as some of my franchisees love me and I love them, if the business model doesn't work, they don't like me very much. And so that's my number one goal, and to do that in a positive manner in the communities where we operate is to be able to do both, to be positive in the communities where we operate and to be able to drive profitability for our franchisees. I think we're doing that because the past 5 years, over 60 to 70% of new franchises we're selling are to existing franchisees. And that tells me that we're doing something right in terms of our franchisees like the business model. They're making money and they want to develop more tropical smoothie cafes, because as you and I both know, there's a whole lot of franchise opportunities out there. My goal is to make us the best opportunity with the best unit level economics. And to me, that is a brand that has average 18% profitability for our brand, an AUV on average across the system, over $1 million. So profitability and top line sales is what we really focus on. And we know to get there, we got to have great products. We got to have great innovation. We got to be dominant in the digital space, et cetera. So we got to bring all those things together, but I think we're on the right track.
Would you also say that you would need another factor in that would be having franchisees that understand that idea of the business, not just I love serving food or I love serving my community, but I truly do have to understand what's affecting my economics? I mean, you can build a great model, but I'm the franchisee. Isn't it up to me to deliver that?
It is, right? You're the franchisee is the boots on the ground at the end of the day. And so what I would tell you, this may not be an answer that you would expect. This brand has grown. I call it the American dream. It is, I've scraped together some dollars, I got an SBA loan, and failure was not an option. That is the lifeblood of Tropical Smoothie. I've got, 50 different stories that I could tell you of franchisees that opened one location that now own 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 15, et cetera. So as we scale, right, naturally some consolidation is going to happen, but we have a lot of single unit franchisees. And so as a franchisor, my duty to them, and I'm not painting single unit franchisees as not understanding economics, not understanding their P&L. Of course they do, but it reminds me that if they've got the passion, as the franchisor, we've got to create the tools and the training to help them continue to elevate their management of that business, right? To continue to get more sophisticated in their ownership. Because if you have the passion for the business, and then we add in P&L management, food cost management, labor management, local area marketing strategies, et cetera, we've got to create the full package. And I think we've done a pretty good job of that based on our single unit franchisees scaling and really ultimately getting into a different business, when you're at 5, 10, 15, that's a different business than 1 to 3.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then you have a whole new learning curve on remote management and a new scale of managers right. that are out there. So there's always innovation. You're talking about it. You also mentioned about owning the digital space. So there's a lot of noise. How do you stay focused? How do you choose what I'm going to focus on and what I'm going to ignore?
How do I choose? Well, I'm not that smart, so I have to work. I have to work from a very simple baseline. And the first thing is, I'm a franchisor. My job is to serve franchisees. The franchisee's job is to serve our guests, right? So I start with, what does the guest want? If the guest doesn't want the product we're offering, we're in trouble to begin with. Whether you go up the chain or down the chain, it focuses on sales or the guest and making sure that they're happy. So the product innovation piece is a very core aspect to what we do, right? We have to continue to entice and introduce our brand. And at the end of the day, we're a food and beverage brand. So the product's got to be good. If it doesn't taste good, people aren't going to order it. I'm always asked the healthy aspect of tropical smoothie, where do we live on that? And I always answer with a goofy statement, which is, if we sold wheatgrass on cardboard, we wouldn't have a whole lot of guests, right? So our brand is sort of on the razor's edge between health and taste. And I believe that we can do both well, right? And we can provide consumers optionality. Right? You can substitute, you can add, you can take off to create an environment where they can get what they want. So that's number one is focusing on the guests. And, you know, 1B is the franchisee. They're the boots on the ground. They have to be supported and have a model. So I keep it with the guest and the franchisee is what my focus is always on, to not get out into outer space and into the weeds of, should we have this connector for this app to this website to this, that, and the other? All that stuff's important, but does it serve the end goal of serving the guest and serving the franchisee? So that's how I try to keep it straight.
That's a good filter, because it's pretty hard out there. So let me ask you the question coming at it from a slightly different angle, because you were talking just a minute ago about teaching them, you know, you bring people in who may not have focused on a business economic before, now you're going to teach that. So what, this is something that just bothers me, how are you managing or balancing teaching and getting them the right tools and staying on the right side of the joint employment line?
Oh, that's a good one, Marianne. I'll give my super quick diatribe. I'm scared as can be of joint employer. I am a newly elected member of the IFA Board of Directors, which is an incredible honor in my career. I'm super, super excited about it. And one of the things was asked, what are your number one and two things? Joint employer was my number one. I think that the franchise model provides so much value and so much economic output and so many jobs, et cetera, that yes, I'm worried about, I'm not trying to get political, but people who are anti, you know, that are really trying to push joint employer, it could have devastating effects. And so, yes, we have to be very cautious around those things. And we spend a lot of time and a lot of money to make sure that we're driving those resources without crossing the line, right? And I think we've done a pretty good job. It's your business. So the tools that we provide have to be turnkey, and you have to use them as you see fit. And so we spend a lot of time making sure that we don't cross that line. We are 99.9% franchise. We own one restaurant out of 900. So our mindset is much more, we're in the business of serving franchisees. So to my thinking, that's our bread and butter, and that's what we do. So we don't have as much difficulty in saying, gosh, you should do this with employees, you should do that, blah, blah, blah. We have to keep it very broad and very high level. And we also use third parties, Marianne, for the things that we're worried about. We've got to use third parties in the HR space and in the hiring and firing. And we've set up those third parties to support our franchisees, where unfortunately we have to be a little bit hands-off.
That's music to my ears. You know, that this conversation right here was the genesis of why I put this podcast together, because I found a lot of franchisors were pursuing a huge number in their pipeline, in their development, and not being able to get in people who understood the complexities of the business and really coming from a good place, but they went way overboard and never right. realized that as a franchisor, you are still creating tremendous value for your franchisees by bringing in quality third-party providers. Also protects you from some vicarious liability claims at the same time. So it can be done, but I do think it's something we all have to pay attention to. I'm here in California. AB 5 is pretty much telling us we're not going to exist, but yeah. I do think we have some windows to negotiate that. And by the way, congratulations on the MFA board.
I'm super excited.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
So in your career, and not just in this brand, in your career, if there was one thing you could do differently, what would it be?
There's one thing I could do differently.
And not getting gray hair is not an option. You have
that's
to
not a, that's else. Not no. an option. I think the one thing that is missing for me. I've had some quasi entrepreneurial ventures, right? And investments or being part time involved, et cetera. But I don't have the hardcore entrepreneurial. I put cash on the barrelhead, start a business, run it, et cetera. So while I can relate to our franchisees to some degree, and I'm a champion of that, I cannot sit here and say, I have opened an X brand or I've opened X business, et cetera. I've been involved and been around it and understand it. So I'm not sure where I would have fit that in on the track that I was sort of on, because I'm so passionate about the franchisor side of this. It's just what I chose to love. And we see so many, Marianne, you and I both know a lot of people in the industry. There's so many people that leave franchisor and go to the franchisee side and have great success. They're very different. They're very different at the end of the day. Very, you know, it's not even necessarily the skill set. It's almost the mindset. And so that's one piece that I probably would say that I'm missing, that I might have done a little bit differently that would have served me in the role that I'm in now. Because I have other colleagues in the business that have taken 5 years or 7 years and done some things, and maybe they're back in being in the franchisor mold now, and that really colors how they view things. Very passionate on what does that do for the economics of our franchisees. Now, I think I'm smart enough to have built a team that is very good at telling me, hey, in this meeting that we're having around this conference table, let's leave a chair empty, because that's the franchisee. So all the stuff, all these dollars that you want to put on them, what does that do to unit level economics? So I think we work very hard to keep that top of mind.
Great answer. And I'll be your therapist here for a second.
Please, I need it.
Part of this season is about builders and growers, because I do think there are different mindsets, and as you said, also heart set, let's put it that way, mm-hmm. that there are some people who see a future where none exists, but they can only get it so far. And they need people like you who see a bigger picture, who see the efficiencies, who see the relations between things. And we need both of you in franchising right. to make this work. I often think, though, that perhaps a CEO, not undercover boss style, but should really maybe go back through the training that their franchisees go through, including that on the job, because I don't always think it's the money we put on top of franchisees. When I was one, I called it the just this one thing syndrome. Could you just do this? Could you just track this number? Could you just try this? Like, we're already doing 9,000 things a day, and you've yep. lost track of that base. Stop putting more stuff on top of us.
Can I give you an example of that sure. I'm dealing with currently that I think may be illustrative? And I'm not, listen, on all these comments, Tropical Smoothie is the farthest thing from perfect. There's 100 things we need to get better at. So for any of my franchisees that are listening, don't think that we're perfect. But when we talk about digital costs money. When you talk about, I'm not trying to be Domino's Pizza, right? But when you look at the Domino's and the Chipotle's and the Starbucks, et cetera, I always call them the snowplow. Like, we're back here behind the snowplow. They can move it and we'll kind of follow behind. We'll be a fast follower model to serve the guests the way they want to be served through whatever sales channel they want to be served in. Well, guess what? All those zeros and ones end up being G&A and people that need to understand that. We at the core are a hospitality business. However, we have to supplant that with technology. I call it hospitality. We have to find the intersection between the hospitality business and the integration of technology to serve the end guest. So when I think about the things that we need to do that I'm working on right now on our 5-year strategy, we need to add this. we need to add this because it does this for the guests. Well, on our app, we need to add this. Well, that's $30 a month. Well, that's this. Well, what is the level of understanding of our franchisees of the technology and what they have to do at the POS or on their bank statement to understand what the heck is going on? It's a lot. And so one of the things we're going through as a leadership team now is there's 15 things we want to do to get where we want to go. How much can the franchisee absorb at one time? Right.
And what can you take off?
I can't roll out five things at the same time.
True. But, and also if you, let's say you roll out two.
Yeah.
What are you taking off the plate so that there's still stasis? They can still do this and maintain the life quality that they, I mean, I think almost every franchisee, the owner operator model, particularly, they go into this because there is something in their life that wasn't working and they want to have more control. So we might have all the efficiencies in the world, but if we're taking that from them, we're really disrupting the equation.
And I would tell you, I have a view on this and I've heard it from my franchisees. In this day and age, there is no set it and forget it. There may be models out there that are hands-off or passive in the restaurant space. I do not believe it exists. My franchisees tell me this business gets more and more complicated every single day. I understand that. And I'm torn between adding more on the plate, off the plate, without taking things off. Because the core business of open, have your employees produce the products, et cetera, isn't going away. I can't take that off the plate. I can provide better training, et cetera. But as the shift in the channels happens, it really is just more on the plate stuff. And many of my franchisees, the old Bob Gappa, right? You join a franchise for income, wealth, equity, lifestyle. I don't think the return on investment for lifestyle is there. It is really hard work. The way to get through that is going to cost you more money in terms of management. Because if you're a single unit owner, or you know the old term mom and pop, hey, Marianne and I are going to run this, and she'll do Tuesday through Thursday, and I'll do this, that, and the other. It's just a new, in my opinion, it's just a new world, and there's a lot more things. There's more things to do than there are hours in the day. So then it becomes about prioritization. But I think franchising, certainly in the restaurant space for the operator, is harder and more things to do than it ever has been. And some franchisees that got into it with that thinking, Marianne, are almost disgruntled because, gosh, this wasn't what I really wanted. I'm passionate about this, but I also wanted to have Saturday and Sunday off, or I wanted to have this, that, or the other. So
okay, that's not realistic ever in any food business.
Yeah. I'm sending back feedback that I'm getting, but I would tend to agree with you. That is the bit. I grew up in the restaurant business. I started on the dishwasher at 10. When I wanted to talk to my dad, he would say, yeah, I'm in the kitchen. What do you want to talk about, right? Do some dishes while we're talking. It's a mindset, and you have to love it. And I think with our model or with any other model, that's where the investigation. We are pretty good about saying, guys, this is still a restaurant. We may not have grills, deep fryers, or hooding systems. We're still open 14 hours a day. We're still open 7 days a week. It's a hard business. It's a great business, but it's a hard business. So we try to really push on our prospective franchisees on, you sure you want to do this?
Okay, so you're setting that expectation in the development process.
As best we can, Marianne, but people get really excited about a business and sometimes they choose not to see what they choose not to see.
So I think you said earlier 60% of your, was it 60% of your franchisees are single units, or they were 60%?
It's the same number. About 55 to 60% of our system is single unit, and about 60% of the sales, the franchise sales that we're doing, are to existing franchisees. So that single group is going to be, we're moving towards a multi-unit system.
So that's going to answer my question. Do you see, as it gets more complicated, the trend is to people who see the model where they have to be management and they're putting operator staff underneath them?
I do. I think it's natural. I think you've seen it with a lot of other brands, and we call it the consolidation phase, right? And I think for most brands, if you look back historically, it's somewhere between 750 and 1500 units that really starts to happen. This business is really more than I want to deal with, but somebody with infrastructure and with regional managers and all that kind of stuff is a great buyer. Right? I've always said franchising is a life cycle, and my job as a franchisor is to service you on the way in and also to service you on the way out in terms of I have an asset that I can sell. My job is to increase the value of that asset for you. You got to do your part, Mr. or Mrs. Franchisee, in terms of the sales, because that's what it's trading off of. But the transfer process and the getting out and the marrying of friends, one wants in and one wants out, that's also part of our job. And there's nothing bad about that. It's an asset. You get to sell it and make money on it. And that's
the goal. You're supposed to come in with a goal, you know, to leave. Okay.
So, yeah.
At some point, one way or the other.
Yeah.
So in our closing minutes, if you had one piece of advice that you felt was pretty universal to give to franchisors to make more enduring brands, what would it be?
I'm going to go to one of our core values, which is relationships rule. Again, I'm not a rocket scientist by any means, but any opportunity I have to speak with our franchises, we have a franchisee council that I work with. I just got off the phone with them. Those relationships, especially for a brand like ours that doesn't have a lot of corporate units, though I think it's for any franchise, understanding, to your point of CEO, go back through the training, get in the trenches, understand what they're going through, et cetera. But you also can get that through relationships. People will shoot you straight, right? I always say, oh, I've got a call with the CEO. Marianne, you're sitting here looking at me on this podcast. I'm just another bozo on the bus, right? I'm just another guy that's worked in franchising, and I'm beyond blessed to have the position that I have. But I'm a relationship guy. I'm not smart enough. I got lots of smart people around me, but I am pretty good with relationships, and I am pretty good about even the pulling things out of franchisees, because that is the ugly stuff. That's the feedback is a gift. Even when your stomach turns while you're getting it, I had a call last week where I was getting a lot of feedback, and I wrote at the top of my page, feedback is a gift, because I love this brand so much that when I hear some of these things, it turns my stomach. But if I don't hear those things, then I'm going to go off into left field and just keep doing corporate what I'm doing. So staying grounded in the life that you're a partner in with your franchisees is my universal advice. Staying close to it.
Wow, I love that. Thank you. I could talk to you forever, but we're gonna wrap this up for this week. If there were franchisors out there that wanted to get in touch with you, how could they do that?
Yes, my email, Charles Watson, Tropical Smoothie Cafe, C Watson, WATSON, @ Tropical Smoothie. And that's one word, SMOOTHIE.com. And bring it on, because I'm going to ask you just as many questions as you're going to ask me. We're a team in franchising. We're going to help each other.
We really are. So thank you so much. And to all those listening, thanks for tuning in to What's Your Effing Business. We hope to see you on our next podcast. Thanks again, Charles.
Thank you.
What's Your Effing Business is created by O'Connell & Company, Inc. and FranWise. It is written and directed by Marianne O'Connell. Technical mastering by Ryan Cleary. Our theme music was written and performed by Sean J. O'Connell and Leviathan Brothers and is available on Spotify. All rights to this podcast and music are reserved.